Hi, I'm Life Coach Mama, a life coach for moms who want to find more joy and more peace in their marriage and in their parenting. My husband and I have 8 kids. We love having a big family and often hear the phrase, "You've got your hands full." Come and join me as I interview moms of all ages and in all stages from around the world. Be encouraged, find inspiration and confidence that you can handle another kid. And if this is a topic that interests you, please check out my book, Have Another Kid Without Losing It, available for purchase today on Amazon by Lauren Loboda. All right, listeners, welcome back to the podcast. Today, I have my friend Marissa here. She's going to tell us a little bit about her motherhood, choosing life as a single mom. I want to welcome her. Thanks for being here, Marissa.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you. So why don't you just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, your background and your life, where you live, and we'll go from there.
All right. So I live in Ferdinand, Indiana. And let's see, I work in town where I live. I've lived in the same town my whole life, and I'm in the banking world, but I do enjoy it. I didn't see myself working in banking, but that's where I'm at. And I have 2 kids, a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old. So my daughter's 3 and my son's 6 and has started kindergarten, or he's almost 6. He turned 6 in March. And so yeah, I enjoy living in my small town. That's where my family and my friends are, and just love being a mom to my 2 kiddos.
What would you like to tell our listeners about the beginning of your motherhood story?
Yeah, sure. So starting from the beginning, it was the summer before my last semester of college, and I was excited to, you know, enter that last semester, finish up all my classes. I was planning on graduating in December, and then working in the healthcare field after I graduated. So that summer, I found out I was pregnant, and my boyfriend and I had been dating for about 3 years at that time. And so when we found out, we were, you know, very shocked, surprised. It wasn't part of our plan at the time. And we really didn't know what to do when we found ourselves in that position. But so for a brief time at the beginning, we were scared. We weren't telling anybody. I did have a short period where I did think about having an abortion because I had grown up in a religious home where we went to church every Sunday. We were involved in Bible study, or I was, and retreats. And so I knew abortion was wrong, like deep in my heart, and it was wrong and that it hurt everyone involved. But in that moment, when I was in those shoes of being the one pregnant, it felt like an answer or a solution to what I was going through. And I thought I could just erase everything and keep my life the way that it was. Mm-hmm. But as quickly as that entered into my mind about abortion, it pretty well left, because deep down I knew it wasn't going to be a solution to just a temporary thing I was going through. And then I also thought about adoption at the beginning for a short time, because I was a young mom. I was 21 at the time, feeling very overwhelmed, thinking that I couldn't be a mom, that I didn't have the confidence to do it or the skills. And so I thought about adoption, thinking that another family could be blessed, could raise my baby better than what I could. But as a little bit of time passed, I realized, no, I wanted to keep this baby. I wanted it to be mine. And I thought I could do it. So after a little while, I started slowly telling close family and friends, and that was really tough because I was very self-conscious about everything. I still had all the shame and the disappointment with it, and I was worried about what they would think and say. And it was a shock, you know, to my close family and friends. It took them a while to process all their emotions, which at first was hard for me because I was getting to the point where I was more excited about the pregnancy and happy about it. And then they weren't, you know, all on board with it at first. Mm-hmm. But then slowly, especially my family, when they started becoming more supportive. That helped tremendously because, like, mentally and emotionally, it helped validate my feelings. And I realized then that I could do this. I could get through the pregnancy and have the baby, and that they would be there for me. So that helped out a lot.
Yeah. I mean, everything you say makes perfect sense to me. I mean, it's so positive, and you go through a range of emotions and then you accept it. And then hopefully you get to the point where you're excited, and then you have to share it with the people around you who are then starting their phase of shock and frustration or whatever their experience is, and like trying to separate yourself from their emotion and their experience. I mean, it makes so much sense, but we just don't talk about it enough. And I think honestly, in the pro-life world, in the religious world, we don't talk about it enough, because I don't know why, but I think what happens because we don't talk about it enough is we get these misconceptions that everyone having an abortion must be a super pro-choice type person with a mindset that's all about abortion. And so many times I hear, I'm Christian, or I was Christian at the time, or I was going to church at the time. It's kind of taboo. And so who talks about it? Planned Parenthood and pro-choice people. So that's where they get their information. And they're told it's a clump of cells and, you know, no big deal. So I just appreciate your willingness to be open, because it's very personal. And like you said, you felt shame, and to be able to share that with people is so helpful, because I think not only will someone who's in unplanned pregnancy be helped from you, but just the church world, the religious world, the pro-life world, because so often we don't get that it's not that we need to change pro-choice people, it's that we need to educate people in our churches. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Were you pleasantly surprised by anyone's reaction? Were you like waiting for your parents to have like a different reaction than they did, be it better or worse? Or
I think I knew when I would tell them that they would be disappointed in me, just because of the way I was raised and coming from a religious home. And so they were, I think, at first disappointed. And so that was tough to take. But my mom was very supportive, pretty well, from when I told her. And so that helped me a lot, because she knows, she's been a mom of three kids, and she knows there's so much going on, so many emotions, and you're scared. And so to have her there as a rock meant a lot to me. Mm-hmm. And then my dad did get on board too, which a little bit later. And I was very blessed, that he had my support too. Because I know, looking back on it, I couldn't have done it without them. And so it makes me feel for moms that don't have as much support. I'm sure that's mm-hmm. got to be very tough. Because at first I didn't know how much support I would have. But looking back to it, it's like that would have been even more difficult to make it through the pregnancy.
Imagine. Were there like concrete ways? Was it just like kind of how they talked about the pregnancy, or their attitude towards you, or emotions, or were there like specific things they did where it's like, okay, they support me?
It was more, I think the things that they said, they would say, start getting excited for me about planning for the future and mm-hmm. planning for the baby. I did have a group of friends that threw me a surprise baby shower. And so that was really beautiful, because I wasn't expecting it at all. And it just made me feel so loved, and made me feel like they loved my son too. And so my parents, they finally, or after a little bit, I could tell the way they talked about the baby was more as a gift, as a blessing, it's a good thing instead of something to be ashamed of. Because when you think about it, like, yeah, it's hard not to judge moms, I feel like, in that situation. But when it comes down to like, this baby is still a blessing, still such a beautiful gift from God. And that's what I feel like, it was hard to get some of my close family and friends to think of it that way after, just when they were shocked and surprised. But they're all, babies, all gifts from God. So,
right. Oh yeah, yeah. Of course. Yeah. And after the baby's born, everybody's emotions change, I'm sure.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, wow. So that's great. So your parents were a great support. That's wonderful. And your friends obviously came along by your side. That's so beautiful. What about the end of school? I guess I didn't get that detail. So did you, what, you were pregnant and you graduated? Is that kind of how that happened, right? So you still finished school, or how did that all work out for you?
Yes. So I did continue my classes as normal. I remember walking around on campus wearing baggy sweatshirts trying to hide my growing baby bump. Just because I was still self-conscious about it. And even strangers, people I didn't know, I just felt weird about it. But I had, yeah, great support system. I was involved in the Newman Catholic Club on campus, and we met weekly. And so that's where I met most of my close friends in college. And they, I could really lean on them during times when it did get tough, because it wasn't, yeah, always easy trying to finish the classes and, you know, being tired or just having a lot going on. But I did graduate then in December. I was 6 months pregnant at the time then when I graduated. I moved back home, which was only an hour from where my college was, and just kind of stay with my parents. They helped me get ready and prepare for the baby. And at that time I was studying for a healthcare exam to officially pass and then be able to start looking for jobs. So I kind of had a little bit of time too, where I didn't have to apply for jobs right away. So that was kind of nice just to be at home and studying and resting. And so yeah, everything worked out. Like, thinking back on it, everything worked out really perfect how I had that time, and then had my son in March, then 3 months after I graduated.
Yeah. When you look at him now, I mean, he's six. We all love kindergartners. I have a 6-year-old, so, or he's five, almost six. They're fun. Like, what is it, just, I don't know, what thoughts go through your mind? I'm sure a lot, but does it seem like that was a long time ago? Does it seem like a lot has happened since then? You've changed a lot because of motherhood, or does it seem like just yesterday? What are your thoughts when you see him now?
Yeah, when I think back on it, sometimes it does feel like yesterday, and all the memories come flooding in when he was born and so tiny. Other days it feels, yeah, like a lifetime ago, because so much has happened with him. Yeah, starting school, becoming so much more independent. But yeah, it definitely makes me just feel so blessed when I think back on it, because whenever I was going through the pregnancy and the whole process, I didn't always see the graces that God was giving me and the blessings. I felt like, you know, I never was going to get out of that part of my life at times, but then in like the blink of an eye, it was over, and then he was born, and then it was a whole new whirlwind of emotions. But it's just been really beautiful to look back on it, that I realized that God never let me go. He always had me in his hands. And even when I was having trouble trusting him, he still was right there with me. And something that, when my son and I are getting ready for bed at night, we'll be laying in bed all snuggled up together. I'm trying to get him to sleep, and he'll look at me and say, "Mommy, this is the life." And I love when he says that, because it's a great reminder. He's just really happy in that moment. And it's a great reminder to me that this is the life that God has given me. I'm alive with him, and so blessed with him. And now he has a little sister who's three. And so I can't imagine my life without both of them in it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that is the cutest thing I've ever heard. This is the life.
It is terrible. So yeah, it's our little saying we like to say to each other.
Do you have a favorite stage or age that he was in, or maybe one or two that you think was like more fun or more interesting, or maybe one that was hard?
He was always my adventurous child, so full of energy. So I feel like the toddler years, I love them, but they were, yeah, very challenging. Like most parents would say, I would guess, because he was always, yeah, never would sit still, always moving. But then as he started school, it was really fun to see that stage. And just to see him become more inquisitive, asking questions. And now I love seeing him at the school age, 5, 6, where he's more independent. And I feel like I'm able to kind of slow down and enjoy just who he is, not be so worried and stressed about all the little things of him running around, getting hurt, you know, when they're small. Right. So I'm just getting to enjoy his personality and who he is and spending time with him. So I think maybe now is one of my favorite stages of who he is now.
Right. But do now you're 27?
28.
28. So it's young. That's young. But do you feel in school or when you're, you know, at an event or out in public, do you feel like you're the young mom? Like, does it feel that you're so much younger than everyone else? Or is it just kind of everyone's a parent doesn't really, you don't really think about it now?
I think every now and then I still feel younger. A lot of my friends, they either just started having kids or they're getting ready to, but, then it's, yeah, when I'm in a group of moms, I just feel, yeah, like a normal mom, just with my kids. And it's easy to talk to other moms, you know, when we're having play dates or anything, you don't necessarily think about age. Yeah. And the number and how old you are. So now it definitely, yeah, I don't feel as young. I don't think.
Yeah. I think we think so much about our peers' age when we're in school, because we're always with the people that are the exact same number. Right. So my kids will say, you know, my friend is 10, I'm 10, or my friend is 8, I'm 8, so on and so forth. So if I talk about a friend who's 55, they're like, what, you know, and we have kids the same age. And it's like, well, that's possible. Or if I talk about a friend who's 25, they're like, what, you're so much older than her. And it's like the motherhood does bring you together. You know, when you're pregnant and you're 21 and, you know, you're in a class of a bunch of 21-year-olds, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm this young mom and I'm always going to be the young mom. But it kind of just evens out, I feel like, as they get older. And then, you know, there's those people that look young and they're not, look old and they're not, get white hair early. So it's like, I don't know, white hair people pay for. So I can't keep track of who's what age. And maybe you can talk to this. Like, what is something else that surprises you that maybe you thought, like you said, when you're 21, you're like, I can't be a mom, I'm not confident. Did you just kind of say, well, here the baby came out and it's me, so I got to figure it out, Google it, ask my mom, or like, how did you handle that?
At first I was very overwhelmed, very thinking, you know, I have no idea what I'm doing. But it is amazing, when my son was born, that I feel like instincts did kick in, where I understood what to do for certain things, taking care of him, feeding him. There were just things that I picked up really quickly or just knew how to do. My mom was huge support. She helped me a lot with breastfeeding and with just helping at nighttime. And so that was wonderful. I had read books before, a little bit before the pregnancy, that I feel like were helpful, just tips and advice. And the main thing was just the village around me of people, where I knew I wasn't alone. And I think it would have been very hard to raise him by myself. I know some people don't have that support of their family there, and that would have made it even more challenging. So I was very thankful that I had that too. But so looking back, yeah, I definitely had my hard days, the days where I cried and thought I missed my old life. And I
yes, I missed my old life.
Yeah, the freedom and the time. And
yeah,
but it could have been, I feel like it would have been a lot more difficult, yeah, without the support that I had. And so I'm very blessed with that.
I mean, when I hear that, I think, you know, it's like anything in life, until you do it, how do you know, right? And even if you planned your wedding and then you planned exactly when to get pregnant and everything went as planned, and you're at a certain age where you think you're ready, it's like, what does being 35 mean? Like, you still haven't had a newborn. You still haven't been pregnant, you know, until you've been pregnant and had the baby and become a mom. A friend who's a pediatrician who always said certain things to her patients before she became a mom, and now says the complete opposite. You know, she would say, like, let him cry it out. And I hear babies crying in the hospital and it's no big deal. And then she got pregnant, had a baby, and she's like, oh, they sleep in bed with me, I'm not supposed to do that. You know, so it's like so different when it's you and it's, you know, it's subjective versus like an objective opinion. And like having knowledge of something in a book is so different than like going through it. So I'm not discounting like how hard it is if you're single and it's unplanned or if you're younger, but at the same time, like, age and time and book reading doesn't do everything either. So there's always going to be that, like, what am I doing?
Yes.
You know, I think we all leave the hospital with the newborn baby being like, wait, what?
Yes, that is true. Yeah. What do I do now?
And I, you know, I wasn't single, but I remember my husband had a week off. And I remember the first day, I'm like, you're going to work. You know, he went back and I'm like, really? No, wait, what's going to happen? So is there anything I missed? I feel like I could ask you a million more questions, but I know you have to get back to your kids and back to work. Anything you wanted to share or another story or?
I guess one thing I did forget was, you know, I was very scared, like to go back to church, to get involved in my church life again, with being pregnant. But one thing that greatly helped me was, talking to a friend that was a priest and just asking him questions, trying to talk to him about the pain and the shame that I was still feeling while I was pregnant. I talked to him and it was a really wonderful conversation. He reminded me that, you know, what I was going through, I'm forgiven for it. And God still loves me so much and he loves my son and that he had like a beautiful plan for us. And so hearing that from him as a member of the church was really helpful because I thought I couldn't go back to church or I couldn't see people that they would still judge me. And so that's really changed my perspective too, where I feel like I used to be more judgeful of young moms or moms in a crisis pregnancy. And now going through it myself, I try to put myself in their shoes and just not judge them. But I think it's so important to just listen to them, let them know that you're there for anything that they might need, to take them to a doctor's appointment or even especially after the baby's born, to drop off a meal for them. I think a lot of times we forget about the mom after the baby's born. And so like everyone loves the baby and that's great, showering love on the baby, but just being there for the mom as she's going through everything, healing and all the emotions. And so that's opened up my eyes where I try to do that now more, and just praying for moms and their babies, like during their pregnancy and after, is just so important. And so that's something that I'm working on because I feel called to help young moms and just moms. And there's a pregnancy center that's coming really close to my town that I'm excited to start volunteering at when they get that up and going, just to try to help, because I know, yeah, what it's like to go through it all. And when you're in it, it's hard. And you feel like you're never going to get out of it. But then it's like on the other side, you can look back and realize that you did it, you had strength, and God was with you through it all. So.
Wow. That's perfectly said.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're going to be the perfect volunteer. That's just so beautiful. I mean, you're the best person and, you know, in your busy schedule with the kids and work to give your time. It's just a reminder to all of us that we can do more. And you mentioned your priest. So that's a great message to all priests out there. What you said, it really helped. And I know so many good priests that would say the same. So I know they're doing that, but just an encouragement to keep saying those things. It's like no one would be in church if we didn't go to church because of sin. So it's just a good reminder, but that's what shame does. You know, it tells us silly things and it tricks us and our brains into thinking that something's wrong or that, you know, we're wrong, we're bad and we're not. So I'm glad that priest was there to say the truth. So it's just a good reminder to priests, keep doing what they're doing and Catholics keep doing what they're doing. There is an initiative in the whole country, like through the USCCB for Catholics, to do that walking with moms in need. So I think it's called like WMIN, but they developed it at the national level actually before COVID, and then it just didn't get out because of COVID and no one knew Roe was going to be overturned. So the bishops are saying in the United States that they want every parish to have one. So like it should be coming to your parish, just how the church should really respond to women. So yeah, for Catholics out there, definitely look for that. The walking with moms in need. But for anyone, and like you said, you know, you went to Bible study, went to church. So for any Christian denomination, like, you know, it's really important to listen to what Marissa said about, maybe I don't think I'm judgmental towards single moms, but have I helped a single mom, you know, or maybe I don't think I'm, you know, acting in a way that's perpetuating that like pro-choice lie, but what am I doing in my local pregnancy center? Because this is a situation in our country. You said it perfectly that we're all about the baby. But it's like, okay, you know, mom chooses life, but the baby's going to be with her till the end of her days. So don't forget mom, don't forget the baby, the toddler, the child, right? Just walk with them throughout because it doesn't end when she gives birth. So find a mom you could take a meal to. That's the takeaway. Everybody loves a meal train, right?
Yes. Always very appreciated.
I know. I love meal trains. I swear. I don't know. I don't know how I didn't get like obese in all the meal trains I had, but I'm just saying it was great.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks for giving me your time. And thanks for sharing your story. I know it's not easy to just record your life and answer these serious big questions, you know, span of 30 minutes, but you did an amazing job. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Can't wait to hear about your pregnancy center that's opening there and what you end up doing there.
So, yeah, I can't wait to tell you about it.
Keep in touch. All right, Marissa, have a great day. God bless.
Thank you. God bless.
Bye-bye.